This is As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network with James Gillen. I'm your host, and we've got a great show tonight. We've got Michael Lee Hill, and he's an award-winning musician, filmographer, and UFO experiencer. His footage of the Lake Erie UFOs has created a Billy Meyer-type buzz, and Michael seems to have developed an intuitive relationship with these craft. In his home state of Ohio, Michael has been cataloging video after video of UFOs over Lake Erie. The phenomenon consists almost entirely of pulsating orbs of light, unusual light seen changing colors, converging, separating over the lake. Stories of unexplained phenomena date back over 150 years to the indigenous North American tribes. So without any further ado, I want to bring Michael on the show. Michael, are you with us?
Yes, indeed.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm a big fan, so it's kind of strange. I'd rather just talk to you and hear your stuff, but it's all good, man. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, you know, we can just share like anything else, share our information. And I know we have a lot in common. And,
yes, indeed.
The work that you've been doing, and it's funny because in our area, there's a very long history, you know, and dating back to the Indian tribes, you know, in Trout Lake, Washington, the Yakima Indians and the forest, the fire towers and the rangers and the police and tribal police and everybody have gone on record and talked about a lot of the activity here. And it seems like you've got the same thing going on over there at Lake Erie.
Indeed. And around the 2011 time span, I was contacted by Bigelow Aerospace, who owns the Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
And it was an investigator. His name was Gary Hernandez. But he told me that they know what I'm in contact with over Lake Erie is the real deal, because it's exactly the same phenomenon they've been studying over the Skinwalker Ranch. And I know that's what is over your ranch is the exact same thing. I'm just bringing that up because, you know, the Skinwalker Ranch, it was actually named by Native American Indians, the Skinwalkers, because they would see these orbs of light come down and actually take on biological life form, like a giant wolf or a giant deer.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I heard some pretty crazy things going on over there, to the point I'm going, I don't know if I want to hang out there, because I guess a lot of the people investigated were doing it from probably not the right mindset, and were having a lot of things that weren't really positive happening to them at the Skinwalker Ranch. And we don't really have that. We have really benevolent stuff, but we keep out the things that aren't benevolent, you know, by doing, you know, special practices and things like that to move those energies out.
Right on. Yeah, with the Skinwalker Ranch, I think you're absolutely right that, you know, you need to be careful of what energy you bring into an area like that. You know, like the Native American Indians knew where these mound sites were, that there were vortexes of energy, and they never lived at these areas. They made sure they did ceremony and cleansed their psychic vehicle, you know, before even entering those areas. Because, as you know, there are some forces that it's almost their spiritual job. If you're vibrating fear, they'll give you a chance to experience your own fear-based thought form in hopes you'll change it, I guess. But, yeah, you don't want to bring that into an area like that.
Yeah, there's areas up, you know, on Mount Adams that a lot of the Native Americans won't go there. You know, one area they call the fairy lights. And they said, yeah, we don't go up there. We stay away from there. But that's where I actually go, up to that area.
And oh, right on.
And I've had amazing experiences up there. But to them, I guess they just kind of give it a wide berth, you know, and they leave it alone.
Well, if you're not ready for it, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they'll definitely, if you go in there with a lot of garbage in your belief system, they'll let you know. They'll show it to you up close and personal.
Yeah. Now, I know at the Skinwalker Ranch, what they did there was they put in all these posts, I guess, and buried really deep all these cables and everything else so they could kind of monitor the place 24/7. And I guess they found all their posts broken and the cables torn up out of the ground, which would take quite a lot of strength to do that. Everything just got torn to pieces. And the same thing happened up on our mountain. Somebody went up there and planted a whole bunch of posts in the ground. And they had cables and things going for them. And we went up there and the posts were all snapped in half. And whoever snapped these posts, I mean, they were 6x6 posts, and they weren't in the ground. They just had rocks piled around them to hold them down because there's no really ground to dig in up there. It's almost all lava rock. So they had a bunch of rocks piled over them, and whatever snapped those posts off didn't even pull them out of the ground. They just snapped them in half. Like, they grabbed it at the bottom and just snapped it. And, you know, it's probably, I would imagine, there's a lot of Bigfoot in the area, and I think there's probably the Bigfoot that just said, hey, you're in our territory, and you know, you came here with the wrong energy or the wrong intentions, so we're just going to get rid of your equipment, you know?
Yeah, indeed. You know, I heard John Alexander, you know, the government liaison for Skinwalker Ranch, talking about that. And it was really interesting to me because the reporter asked him, have you come to any conclusion about the intelligence that's behind the phenomenon? And he said, yeah, we've come to the conclusion that we're up against the trickster.
Yeah.
I thought that was very telling. You know, it's Anunnaki. I find it very fascinating. But it was with the Skinwalker Ranch, if I remember correctly, he said it like happened in a split second. There was a flash of light, all their cameras went off, and they went out and everything was gone, you know. They definitely another thing from the Skinwalker Ranch I heard was when they came there, they would have to, you know, they're living there, so they had to eat. So they'd go to the grocery store and come back and unload all their grocery bags into the refrigerator and cabinets and turn around and go, I forgot a Pepsi, you know. Went back into the kitchen, and everything that they just put away was back in the grocery bags. It's like this intelligence that just kind of messing with them and just, hey, just so you know, we're here, you know.
Yeah, yeah. They're probably saying, hey, we're packing for you. You know, you guys can go away now, you know.
Yes, indeed.
Packing everything back up for you.
Yeah, I heard, a matter of fact, at Skinwalker Ranch, I've heard, you know, there's portals there, and man, I'm just throwing out info. Obviously, I don't know if this is true. I should ask Gary Hernandez, but anyhow, from what I understand, the portals now are not fully functioning how they should. And one of the portals dropped out an Anunnaki warrior himself, like 10 foot out of the sky, and he dropped right down into the middle of some of Bigelow's mercenaries, if you want to call them that.
Yeah.
And scared the hell out of them. It didn't end well because they opened fire on the Anunnaki, and it's not probably a smart thing to open fire on a multidimensional being, because good luck hitting them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm just sharing gossip.
Well, you know, the intention, I mean, that is the problem. When you go there with that intention, you know, you're going to have experiences that match your intention. And it's sad that they aren't taking a more spiritual approach to this and bringing in, you know, the benevolent higher dimensional beings to kind of oversee the process and what's going on.
Indeed. They need some spiritual people there instead of mercenaries.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad that they haven't, you know, gone in that direction. You know, they probably have all kinds of amazing experiences if they just, you know, use the right intent. Because I always tell people, you know, and people get pissed off at me for saying that, but I said the problem with military intelligence is that they're not very intelligent when it comes to contact, because they're using, you know, they're trying to outwit, you know, to beings that are far beyond them in evolution, some 10,000, some million, probably billion years, you know, ahead of them. Their technology is far superior, and I'm sure if they wanted to, they could take them out in a moment, you know, with their technology. But they're trying to meet them with control and force, and trying to, you know, catch them versus inviting them, you know, and using spiritual practice to just invite the benevolent ones to come in. And each time, it's just turned out bad.
Yeah, I totally agree. We need a change of the captains in that boat.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've talked to him about it, but, you know, to no avail. He came up, John Alexander came up to our ranch, and it was quite interesting. He came up there, and you know, we were standing out there, and he saw the ships, and he saw the UFOs and everything. And so one time he actually went on record and said, yeah, this is real. You know, it's a real event happening there. But we were standing out in the field, and he was out there, and he says, well, what do you think, you know? And I said, I think it's really time to get on the right side of the fence, you know, because there's energies coming in. If we're on the wrong side of the fence, it's not going to fare well, you know. And so we talked a bit about there, and he says, what do you think is going to happen tonight? And I said, there's a ship coming in from the west. And sure enough, a ship came in from the west and came right over us and stopped and parked. You know, and he goes, what are they doing? And I said, they're scanning us to see where we're at in consciousness and how much they're going to interact with us. And then they stopped and they hovered there for a bit, and then they just took off and, you know, kept going. But they did make their presence known, but there wasn't much after that. You know, there wasn't a lot of contact after that or telepathic contact. They just kind of took off.
I've seen your footage over your ranch, and let's just say I find it very familiar.
Yeah.
A matter of fact, I don't know if you remember this, but I know you're involved with the Star Knowledge family.
Yeah.
And grandmother Reverend Jean Holmes had contacted me and said, you and James need to talk. And she knew that we were both in contact with the, you know, the same these orbs of light.
She's great. I love Jean. She's like a very powerful grandmother, you know. You know, she really has, you know, she holds the consciousness versus other people kind of play the game, you know, the card, you know, the Native American card sometimes, but she really holds it down, holds the consciousness. So you're going to be out there soon, aren't you? Isn't that conference coming up real soon?
Yeah, it's this weekend. And I'll tell you, it's kind of strange that, you know, the universe has kind of put me and the organizer, you know, Chief Golden Light Eagle. It's kind of like we're doing a tour here. We're doing three different events. Just the universe is lining it up that way. Obviously, I've been brought in for the last couple Star Knowledge conferences as a keynote speaker. I'm Iroquois, and on my mother's side, and I'm Erie Montauk on my father's side. So I'm kind of speaking on behalf of the Mound Builders and their connection to the Anunnaki, which not a lot of people know. But yeah, it was really strange because, you know, I'm doing the Star Knowledge Conference in Colorado this weekend. And then on March 11th, me and Chief will be at the Angels and Aliens Conference in Columbus. And then we're both doing the Seed and Water Blessing Ceremony at the Serpent Mound. And I'm really looking forward to that because, you know, Chief brings in the elders and some really powerful energy work is done to bring in a better ending to this human story, you know?
Yeah, I know the Chief really well. He's used to come up and stay at the ranch quite a bit and kind of recharge, you know, with the energy there. And we did a lot of ceremony, a lot of sweat lodges together and things like that, and had a good time.
Right on. I did my first sweat lodge with him last summer because, you know, I didn't know my heritage. I was adopted. And it wasn't until I ended up on the History Channel and they did some blood work and revealed on the UFO Hunter show. It was the episode Alien Contact. But they had our blood work done by a Harvard professor for that episode. And it came back that didn't have normal human blood. I know that sounds crazy. But it was funny because they sent me home. The last day is when we got the final report from this Harvard professor. And they're like, yep, you have it too, and your plane's waiting. I was like, hey, man, wait a minute. This isn't a TV show anymore. What are you talking about? You know, do I need something to worry about? The guy actually wasn't real nice about it. He goes, what do you think unknown means? I'm like, well, all right, I guess. See ya.
Yeah.
But about 6 months after that is when I was actually met face-to-face by the Anunnaki, and they told me they wanted to talk to me about this blood anomaly that was revealed, and that in the future it would be known that this was the Nephilim bloodline. And because of all this, the Harvard doctor told me, well, if you can contact your biological parents, you probably should to see if this is something hereditary or whatever. So for the first time in my life, I contacted my biological mother late 2008, and that's when I found out, you know, my great-grandfather was pureblood Seneca of the Iroquois. So I never even knew, you know. At that time, I was thinking, and then I found out my biological father is connected to the Erie Montauk, which is actually a very ancient tribe here that went on to other parts of the world. And, you know, instead of Erie-ish, it became Irie-ish and Irish, you know. So it's like the same bloodline that's here. We can get into that here in a little bit, but it was very strange to find out I had Native American Indian blood. And my first thought was, boy, wouldn't it be nice to be able to meet the chiefs and, you know, grandmothers and find out what they knew and their contact with these star beings, as they call them, you know, for all this time. And then my next thought was, well, how the hell is that ever going to happen? You know, imagine just on your own, think you're going to go out and track down all these chiefs. But then I met Chief Golden Light Eagle and, kind of took care of itself.
Well, give him a big hug for me when you see him, because I haven't seen him for a while, and I know I've been – he's been on my mind. I know I've been able to – been wanting to contact him soon, but we'll figure it. There's a lot of things going on I need to talk to him about. But a lot of this global stuff that's happening. But the there's something – you know, my grandmother was actually Cherokee, which is interesting.
And so my that's DNA, like cousins to the Iroquois. It's like you and I are same blood then.
Yeah, yeah, it's part of the Iroquois nation, I believe. You know, yes. Same thing. But and I was, you know, I didn't know that as a kid because my mother hid it. You know, it wasn't fashionable, you know, to have any kind of Native American in your blood during her era. And then
it was dangerous.
I saw my grandmother, my great grandmother, and I'm looking at them. I'm going, These guys are full blown, high cheekbones, everything. You know, these are Native Americans. Yeah. You know, and then my grandmother. You know, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, and she was just a beautiful woman. You know, she's crossed over now, but she was just so giving, so loving, so giving, and very tapped in. You know, and it's sad that you know has been compromised or shoved. You know. Shoved under the rug, but when I started finding out, I went down and got my ancestry, and I worked with the Cherokee Nation, some people there, and I actually ended up getting my card and my travel permit and all the other stuff. But
cool.
But you know, I don't. You know, I think you and I have a lot in common. You know, we both have blonde hair, and I don't know what color your eyes are, but
they're a bluish gray kind of thing happening.
Yeah, that's where mine are too. You know, and so we don't totally fit into the tribes, you know, but
now what you find out is you know, our bloodline, this what we're talking about, was actually proven by DNA testing. Are you familiar with the haplogroup X2A subject?
Yes.
So in the first time in 1997 they found this new DNA haplogroup, and it only exists in this bloodline. But what I can tell you is I don't know if you know this, but it's confirmed now with the work I've been doing with Chief and whatnot, because they know all this. But Edgar Cayce, you know, a lot of people know he did all this prophecy on Atlantis and, you know, the Hall of Records being under the Sphinx's paw and whatnot. But what a lot of people don't know is he also said what happened to the Atlanteans. He said the largest migration from Atlantis was about 10,000 years ago, and the bloodline came up into the bottom of the North American continent, and they met the Mayans first, you know. And they even said, hey, this big white guy, Cody Quatzel, showed up and showed us how to make a calendar and pyramids. And, well, sooner or later, they ended up still coming up through the middle of the North American continent, and they became what's known as the Mound Builders. But this culture predates the Native American Indians by thousands of years. Not a lot of people know that. They just assume that these mounds were just regular Native American Indian stuff, but they're not. And one of the things I've realized is, you know, they've been giving us the keys to cosmic harmonious frequencies that lead to free energy. And it all revolves around this frequency of 432 hertz, and we can get into why that's important. But what I can tell you is what I've realized is they've actually encoded octaves of that frequency into the design and layout of these mound sites, which blew my mind. They've been waiting for us to catch up for a very long time to this knowledge.
Yeah, there's a lot of that I've heard, you know, 530, 430, 4 something. I hear all these different numbers and about how each one of them has a different cause and effect, you might say, you know, and 430 keeps coming up over and over again.
Yeah, you know, the deal is, you know, all of our physics today is based on E equals MC squared. But quantum physicists tell us that now we realize that everything is both particle and wave simultaneously. Well, E equals MC squared is only the particle part of the equation. It's right there, M equals mass. And yeah. D is energy, C is the speed of light. But 432 squared is the speed of light within 1% accuracy. Mm-hmm. So the only frequencies that plug in and are truly components of light are 432-based frequencies because they become C of that equation. Mm-hmm. So if you just work it backwards, 432-based frequencies squared becomes C. Squared times mass equals energy. So. Mm-hmm.
Now, these frequencies, I know a lot of people are changing. I know you're a musician as well, and a lot of people mm-hmm. are changing, you know, retuning their guitars and things like that to actually be more harmonious with these frequencies.
Yes. You know, it was interesting. I tracked down the leaders in this scientific technology. They're called cymoscope, and some people might be aware, but it started off where they take a big metal plate and put sand on it, and then they have it tuned and bow it, and you'd watch the sand dance, and geometry was formed. Now it's evolved to having a big vat of water that's suspended in a big tripod so no vibrations can get in it, and then they can pump frequency, or they just have a stereo input. Like, you can image the sound of your first baby noises if you wanted to. So I hired them to image my guitar at I was pretty meticulous with making sure it was tuned properly. The 432, the A note, is tuned to 432 hertz instead of 440. I can tell you, if you run 440 hertz through that same scientific equipment, the cymoscope, it just looks like a puddle. There's no geometry. There's no structure. But back it off 8 cents, and all of a sudden, it's beautiful. So this image has actually become kind of famous now. And Nassim Harriman took it under his wing and put it out through the Resonance Project. And it's got, like, over, I think, 4,000 views now. So people are resonating to it. But Cymoscope contacted me, and they said, you know, we've used this technology to image everything from dolphin noises to children's noises to every frequency. But they said, we've never seen this kind of multidimensionality or structure with anything else we've ever structured, I mean, imaged. And he went on to tell me he thinks it's because it was through an electric rock guitar amp. Because, you know, tube amps, it's guitar amps are one of the only things that still uses tubes. And what it's doing to the signal to create that crunchy kind of Hendrix sound, you know?
Yeah.
So they asked me for my permission to release the full video, the 20 seconds. It's nothing fancy. I just sent them 20 seconds of me hitting my A string. But they've released that on their website now. It's called cymoscope.com. Go to the videos. You can check out the image. But it's really interesting technology because even the image itself is – I'm learning contains a whole lot of energy.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I haven't seen the image. I'll have to check that out.
Oh, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, going back to the Anunnaki, there's really some interesting things. I just got back from Australia a little while ago, and I was hanging out with a lot of the elders there. There's Ulukai Brendan Murray, who's the king of the Raven tribe, and some other tribes as well. He's representing them, and you know, they, you know, together with, I think, and you know, Peter and Saul Reed over there, I think you're...
Yes, indeed, yeah, you know, they're really well. Great people, yes.
Yeah, yeah. They have the Australian East SETI branch, you know, they're working with that energy. But, you know, they took us up, you know, we found out where these glyphs were, called Gosford glyphs. And it's amazing, we went there, and the whole story of the Earth is written on these glyphs. And they've been trying to destroy this. I mean, they tried to bomb it, you know, and in a bombing range. They tried to shell it from the ocean. They've tried all these things were set up to just destroy the area. And luckily they got stopped every time. You know, somebody stepped up right at the last minute to stop them because they didn't want this to get out. They wanted to keep it quiet. But it has both, it has petroglyphs, it has hieroglyphs, and what they call Palladian glyphs. And it tells this whole story of man from the very beginning. You know, they said there was a knuckle dragger, you know, that was here. They call it the Denisovian man. The ships came down. They added their DNA and jumped up the genetics, you know, of the man that was developing here naturally. And then it has another second phase where I believe the Palladians came in. And everything was tied into the Pleiades, actually. But it's very interesting, and they have the whole history of Earth going back, you know, way back, you know, to, I don't know, probably 600,000 plus years. They don't do time like we do, so it's hard to get it to get it down. But the whole history is right there of the Earth.
Amazing.
And, you know, and I show people that, and I said, you know, it didn't begin, and it shows that actually it didn't begin in Africa. It actually began in Australia, which is the oldest continent to stay above water, you know, through all the changes. Mm. So,
right on.
So it's like then the same group went over to Africa and did the same thing, you know. But it's quite interesting when you read this, you know, our whole history. You know, I always tell people, you want to see an ET, just go look in a mirror, because we all have the ET genes. You know, we're all upgraded.
Indeed, yes, indeed. Yeah, and a lot of people might not know too that the Pleiadians are really intertwined into the Anunnaki, because there's not just one bloodline, which I know you know this, but mm-hmm. you know, the king of that race, his name was Anu, and his firstborn son, he had Anu had a Pleiadian queen for a wife, and their first son, his name was Ea, so he was half Pleiadian. Mm-hmm. So it's like the first hybrid within their own bloodline, and so you have a Pleiadian Syrian hybrid through Enki, and then the other side is brother, because afterwards Anu severed that relationship and brought on an Anunnaki wife, and they had Enlil, or Yahweh of the Bible, or whatever you want to call him. But so it's all intertwined, and a matter of fact, you know, Chief Golden Light Eagle, their contact is Pleiadian, and it's interesting, because he told me, he goes, Michael, he said, all races, extraterrestrial races, have their own frequency and their own color. And he said the Arcturians are a 444 hertz frequency. I'm not sure why it's 444. That's what he told me. He said they're silver, and he said you and I, we're 432, and our color is gold. He said, you know, we're here to mine gold.
Yeah, yeah. right. Exactly.
It's funny. They know, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fully aware mm-hmm. of it. And you know, it's funny, because I went to, you know, the Philippines. They point to the Pleiades as their origin. The Hawaiian kahunas here point to the Pleiades as their origin. And so, you know, a lot of the different nations, I know Lakota, the Cherokee that I know of, they all point to the Pleiades as their origin. So it comes up throughout all the cultures. You know, it's
indeed.
Pretty amazing.
You know what's fascinating with this 432 subject? As I said, there's new scientific equipment that makes the invisible visible, you know, the cymoscope. And when you pump a 4 octaves below 432, because you got a piano, that middle note tuned properly, there's still lower A notes on the piano as you go down to the left.
Yeah.
And those are called octaves. And 4 octaves below 432 is 27 hertz. The reason I'm telling you this is once you pump 27 hertz through a cymoscope, it creates a perfect seven-pointed star. And I don't know if you know Bear Cloud. You know, he's of the Star Knowledge family. Isn't he awesome? He said, once we understand that the seven-pointed star can reproduce itself both fractally and mathematically, forwards and backwards, we'll enter into a new time for mankind. But that seven-pointed star is the Cherokee symbol for their tribe. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's amazing. And when you go back to Babylon, and the world map that sits in a museum right now is sitting on a seven-pointed star. And I'm sure you know this, but in 2011, this was strange, because when I met the Anunnaki, I know this sounds crazy, but they told me back in 2008, which I didn't even know what an Anunnaki was back then, because there was no ancient aliens on TV. I didn't even They introduced themselves to me saying, we have been known in your past as the Anunnaki. Mm-hmm. So that's all I had to go on. But they had told me, boy, this gets weird and deep real fast, but they told me that I was once known as Ea, water bearer. And I was like, well, if I don't know what an Anunnaki is, I sure as hell don't know what Enki is or Ea. So a little bit later through, you know, I was meditating, and I asked them, I said, put it in a crop circle. I'm a student of the subject. It'll be my confirmation. Put the name Enki into a crop circle, I asked them to do. And my next thought was, how silly. You know, can you imagine a big crop circle and written in cursive is Enki in it? It's like, the hell's that going to prove, you know? Uh-huh. But then my next thought was, well, you'll figure it out. If you are who you say you are, you'll figure out an interesting way to do it. And I said, while you're at it, encode it with something only I will be able to decode. And this is in 2009 when I put this request out to them. Well, in 2011, a crop circle showed up for real in Italy, and it was based off of a seven-pointed star, and every end of each point of that star had a row of, you know, empty dot, empty dot, dot, mm-hmm. empty dot, empty dot, and it ended up, it was ASCII binary code, and when you decoded it, it said IA space Inky, and it was interesting what had happened, because I make these crystal discs. I don't know if Peter and you know, if they showed you, I've sent them a few of my pieces. But I just made one out of this inky crop circle. And it was sitting there on my table. And then what I did is I took all seven notes of the musical scale and I found the actual cymatic image for each note tuned properly. And I made a whole seven-disc set of every note of the musical scale. And I can tell you that was strange because every one had a different, like one is a five-pointed star, one's a six-pointed star, one's a seven-pointed star. It goes up to about 13 points or something. And I began to actually look at a crop circle and be able to go, oh, that's a D note, you know. Uh-huh. But what had happened was I just finished making this A disc, you know, with the A cymatic image that I was telling you about, which was 27 hertz. And I'm looking at it going, why does this seven-pointed star look so familiar? And it took me about 10 minutes, and it wasn't coming to me. And my higher self, my voice is going, just relax, it'll come to you. Well, after about 10 minutes, it never came, so I just gave up. And when I put the disc down, I looked to my right, and I seen that inky crop circle disc. And right there was staring me in the face, that seven-pointed star. Then I looked over at this A musical note disc I made, seven-pointed star. Boy, it was like the tears started flowing. It was a serious moment of revelation for me because I asked them to encode it with something that only I would be able to decode. So, this all transpired up until I was invited to go to a really sacred Native American Indian ceremony, which is called the Sundance. So in it, Spirit and some of the grandmothers communicated to me that I was known as grandfather. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? You know, like, I'm not married. I don't even have a girlfriend. I don't have no children. I didn't understand. And it kept happening over and over one day with about four different people coming up to me. And somehow it was brought up that, you know, I'm grandfather. Well, finally, one of the grandmothers, Barbara Morningstar, I don't know if you know Barbara.
Yes.
She's awesome. So she took me for a ride and she told me she wanted to get into the actual history of the Sioux. And she said she wanted to get into the dialect of the three tribes. And she said in the Lakota, the same word, well, in an L.A., and she said, let's use the word grandfather. And I'm thinking again, well, okay, here we go again, you know. Then she gets to Dakota, and she said the name for grandfather ends in D-A in the Dakota tribe, and the word from grandfather in the Nakota ends in N-A. Well, later on, a couple days later, I found out that word is I-A. In the Dakota, the name for grandfather is E-A-D-A. And, you know, I'm sure you are familiar with the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of what happened, was the exact same council that he talks about in there, the Seven Lords of Light and the Seven Lords of Darkness. I found out it's the same exact council as the Ancient Aliens show had, the Mysterious Nine. And because I was brought before the Council of Seven for real, I was thinking, what the hell does the Council of Nine have to do with the Council of Seven? And sure enough, about halfway through that Ancient Aliens show, they said that in the Council of Nine, seven are seen and two are unseen. That's when I realized, oh, they're the same. But
that makes sense.
So a lot of it came together, and you know, part of that was this is just a deep subject, but you know, there's both light and dark testing of initiates that are brought before the council, and it's the dark spiritual role to dangle carrots in front of these initiates to see if they can get them to give their power away to an illusionary outside source, you know. And there's usually mind programming at a very deep level going on to get them to enter that circle and take that choice. But there's also the Lords of Light that are testing initiates to see if you bring love and compassion to any suffering that comes your way. And make a long story short, I found out afterwards when the veil dropped, once I got through the gate and passed the testing, that to never pray for rain is part of the dark programming for these ceremonies, because in their mind, you need to suffer as much as possible, you know? yeah. And so what they don't understand, though, is truly part of the dark programming. And if any of the initiates showed enough love and compassion for their fellow man and woman to actually pray for rain to end their suffering, because first of all, it showed that you didn't succumb to the mind programming because you prayed for rain. That's part of the programming to never pray for rain. Mm-hmm. But you showed enough love and compassion for your fellow human being that you'll automatically gain the backing of the Lords of Light. You don't even have to go through the testing. But it's gift wrapped differently for every culture, you know? If you're Chinese and you're brought before this council, it's going to have nothing to do with a Native American Indian ceremony. You know, be gift wrapped differently for that. But it always entails a magically charged space that you know the rules. If you enter it, you've given your power away to some illusionary outside source. And so no matter what, you know, it could be Christian or pagan or Chinese or whatever, there'll be this area that it'll be known. You know, if you go into this, you are giving your power away to
– yeah.
You know, and it usually will somewhere along the line, blood and flesh sacrifices will be involved. And it'll just, you know, what Chief told me, he said, Michael, you're at the most compassionate version of this. He said, there's six more happening simultaneously right now, and each one just gets darker and darker and more suffering happening. So it's like, just because you get invited to the most compassionate one, sooner or later you'll get invited to a darker and darker version of it. And I asked him, did anyone that ever started down this path ever get it and turn around and say, this isn't necessary? And he said, no one ever.
Wow.
Until... Well, you know, I got to say, I had a little, like I said, I wasn't born on a reservation, so I had a little, you know, helping going, even though yeah. I was eligible to go before them, but I didn't have the programming because I was raised as a, you know, middle class white guy. I didn't know any of this stuff. So luckily, I kind of got to go into a version of this that I didn't have a lot of pre-programming.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
I had a woman by the name of Inha, and she was about 8'3", I think, somewhere around there. And
oh, wow.
She looked like Cameron Diaz, basically. I mean, that's all I can say, but about 8'3" tall and wearing golden robes and just beautiful, emanating this light. And I felt the most endearing love and power coming from her I've ever experienced. And my crown just blew wide open. And she actually gave me a song that I wrote. I've never written a song before. I don't know anything about writing music. And I wrote down these words, and it was in perfect verse and everything. And I gave them to the Outback Gypsies, who actually played this song. It's called Anunnaki Return. And it went way up the charts over in Australia. It's just like it's way up there now. So it's pretty interesting.
Wow. But, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, but grown men cry. They start playing this song, and it triggers people on a soul level, and they start, you know, they'll be playing in a bar, and the guys are just crying, you know, going, what is going on? You know, why is this affecting me so much? You know, so it's pretty interesting.
Well, I can't wait to hear it. And I got to say, I'm such a fan of, you know, I've seen so many researchers and people in this field that kind of throw the Anunnaki under the proverbial bus and put them behind all the, you know, the secret societies and the evil banking and oil cabal and all this. And I'm thinking, man, if you really know the Inki's bloodline comes in through the Native American Indians, there ain't no way around it now. And if anyone has suffered at the hands of this evil cabal, it's been the Native American Indians. The biggest genocide on this planet ever has been committed against the Native American Indians. So, you know, I understand, you know, where some of it's coming from, but, you know, what they're not realizing is there's a whole other side to this. And that's what I wanted to thank you for, because you're the only one I've heard telling, you know, there's more to this story. There is a light faction.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and so thank you. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, it's been kind of frustrating because, you know, there's the Orion Council of Light, which are beings that actually they went through the reptilian wars and they're still battling the reptilians, and they're here on Earth helping us clean up the mess here right now. And people say, oh, if you're from Orion, you're evil, you're the grays, you know, you're reptilian and this and that. They don't realize the Orion system is a huge system, and these guys who have been battling these entities and are fighting on our behalf, and they're turning around and calling them reptilians and grays. I said, you know how insulting that is when you've been fighting them, you know, your whole life, your whole civilization has been fighting to keep their head above this nonsense. And I see this all the time. And as you were saying before with the Anunnaki, there were, you know, fallen Anunnaki, but there's ones that never fell and they continue to evolve, and they're extremely advanced beings, you know, and they operate under universal law. And actually, when they came here, there's a big recall going on, that any of the fallen Anunnaki that were left are actually being recalled and having to stand before the councils and explain themselves on why they did break universal law. So that a lot of these people that are running these old programs of fear and separation and everything else are just running really old programs of ancient history with not a clue as to what's really happening, you know, in the multidimensional field, you know, of the higher dimensions and what's being done on our behalf.
Absolutely. It's almost like no matter what level that of understanding and awareness that someone gets to, it's like the dark has been right there with a flip of it into the dark, you know. You know, a lot is about ready to be revealed about who the Native American Indians are and their connection to the Anunnaki. And hopefully we can put a lot of this negativity and fear, you know, out of the equation, especially with some of the things that are about to be revealed, which do you know Carmen Bolter? She did the Pyramid Code for the History Channel.
No, I don't.
She's a fantastic lady, and if you get a chance to watch The Pyramid Code, it's on Netflix and stuff, but it's a fantastic documentary. But she's working on a new documentary right now, and using satellite-based ground-penetrating radar, they found this huge complex under in Egypt. It's called the Labyrinth, and she said 60 feet down is this complex that sprawls over acres, and some of the rooms are the size of grocery stores, and some of the smaller rooms are the size of Olympic swimming pools, she said. But these hallways that connect one room to the next, if you just took the hallways out and put them back to back, you would have to walk through over a mile and a half of hallways just to get from room to room. And these rooms are filled with gold and artifacts, she said. But that's only at 60 foot. At 110 foot is a whole another complex that mirrors the 60 foot level. But there's no hallway that goes from 60 to 110. She said that they think that this stuff was never above ground. It was actually created underground. But, you know, as you know, in Egypt, the Sphinx's head, the only thing above the sand in the early 1900s was its head. And they had to excavate all the sand, and they're like, oh, hey, there's a body. Well, in the same way, they said that there is hundreds of pyramids still under the sand in Egypt. And those pyramids still have their outer granite, you know, marble casing. You know, we as a race, we've never seen a pristine pyramid. I guess my point with all this is someone's going to have some explaining to do, you know, pretty soon. And, you know, it's interesting because we can get into this, but I was brought into the NSA, the remote viewers group that works in reverse engineering and whatnot. And they know all this, you know, pretty much is my point. And so, you know, I joke around. I'm like, all it takes is for the Anunnaki to bring in one of their Anunnaki sand suckers. big vacuum cleaner. Just take that sand right off and let – oh, but what I was going to say with the NSA, I did a show for Spike TV in 2012, and it's never been allowed to air. It's supposed to air in the fall of 2012. But – the leader of that group, his name was A.R. Borden, and he brought together this meeting, and he made them explain to me why they put a stop to my show being aired. And you know, one thing they brought up, this is an interesting talking point. I'm not saying I subscribe to this point of view, but they were very fearful of releasing this due to religious, you know, fundamentalist religion freaking out. So I said, won't you reveal the Anunnaki's reality in our past first? That should eliminate a lot of fear, because if they meant us truly harm, and it's proven they've been here longer than we have, you know, if they meant us harm, we wouldn't be talking right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And but it was interesting, because he said, why we've kept this from humanity, the extraterrestrial subject. And again, I'm not saying I subscribe to this, but I thought it was a very interesting point. He said, if we reveal that extraterrestrials are real and we're not alone, the next question is, well, how'd they get from A to B? And that leads to their propulsion systems. And it leads to unlimited free energy. And they said, this guy was talking to me and said, people don't understand that it's like Pandora's box, that once unlimited free energy is revealed, released to a planet, that truly no one's exempt. Everyone will have unlimited free energy, because it's unlimited and it's free and it's energy. Mm-hmm. And pretty much they just said, what do you think that, like, person with a terrorist mindset would do with their unlimited free energy? You know, probably nothing good. And I thought, well, that's an interesting point, you know. But at the same time, I said, well, you know, we're all in agreement that there is higher consciousness beings here. Why don't we talk to them and see how they got through this phase of evolution, you know? If they, maybe they got through this phase where, you know, they realized the futility of war-based thought forms million years ago, and they've got past it and been growing since then. Let's talk to them. I don't want to talk to Trump, you know. So it all makes sense to me now to see these things being unveiled, because I think it's very important to, for people to understand that this, the Anunnaki were here long ago. Mm-hmm. And as you said, they are returning, and it's going to be a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. There's a lot of people being briefed, believe it or not, about this on very high levels, including Trump, you know, that things are getting ready to come down. And, you know, I don't agree with a lot of things, you know, especially the pipeline and things like that that's happened. But, you know, he is doing a lot to restore the Republic. And I know from experience and talking to people that are actually there at the meetings, you know, he is doing a lot of good things, but again, you know, he's a businessman, and he's doing other things that, you know, I'm sure we don't agree on. But I look at the alternative, you know, Clinton, you know, for the, back in the White House. That would have been
horrible.
That's scary as hell, you know. That so.
Yeah, I really like Bernie Sanders, but you know, all of this threw me for a kind of a loop, and I went to Spirit and I said, I need some answers here. And truly, they said, you know, this system is crumbling, and truly, it needs to, because if we're to become a galactic society, all the systems that are not for the whole and only benefit a few people's wallets, those systems have to go. So truly, if they brought in someone truly just of the light and was very conscious and very aware, let's say Bernie Sanders, it would have given a medicine shot to the arm of the United States and prolonged this system even more. So,
yeah. Exactly.
You know, but I can tell you what's very strange right now is, I don't know if you've just seen in Australia, a lot of land was just given back to the native Aboriginal tribes there. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't get into this much, but I can tell you the exact same thing is about to happen in the United States. Yeah. Because what the government said is, how can we go forward in the world talking about civil rights when the Native American Indian civil rights have been trampled on, even still to this day, like you said, with the pipeline. Mm-hmm. So the word is that things are going to be rezoned here, and the Native American Indians, first of all, it's going to be revealed who they truly are.
Yeah.
You know? And And there's a lot to learn from them. They have a lot we could that would help us as a culture. But imagine going back to the survey of the United States that was done in 1775.
Yeah.
And returning all the land that was the Native Americans' land in 1775 back to them, and having the Native American Indians come up as the leading governmental entity of the United States, because that was what was planned all along, believe it or not, mm-hmm. because our forefathers went to the Iroquois, Seneca, which now we find out that's the remnants of the Atlanteans. And our forefathers went to them to form the Constitution and base the United States government on the Seneca, uniting their tribes that had been at war for a long time into one confederacy. But a lot of people don't know they still own their land. It's the only mm-hmm. tribe that wasn't defeated. And New York, when you travel into Salamanca, which is actually where Niagara Falls is, there's a big sign. It says, "You have now left New York, the United States, and you are now on Seneca land." Mm-hmm. And there is a tax that's being put forth for your travel through here, and it's being paid by the United States. And what I found out was that in late 90s, that treaty, that 99-year treaty was up.
Yeah.
And so they had to redo that treaty. And at that point, the Seneca Nation was given $80 million, and it was agreed that they would be paid close to $1 million per year to still lease that land. It's the only city that's not owned by the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's leased to the United States by the Seneca Nation. And the reason why this is important is that in that treaty, it says that the Seneca still own their land. Well, what the Seneca didn't tell them, they kept hidden their home base, which is my hometown of Eastlake, Ohio. And they were here first. And I got all the documentation. I'm working with the Eastlake Historical Society to release this information to the world. But this mound site that was here had walls that were 660 feet long and surrounded a Cahokia-type pyramid in it. And I found some newspaper articles that this was home base of the mound builders before they went and made the Serpent Mound and Newark Earthworks. They were here in Eastlake. And then after that, they intermingled into what's known now as the Erie Montauk tribe, which is truly, it's Marduk's bloodline here on the planet, I found.
Yeah.
And in the past, it's like once you understand the role Marduk was playing here to reflect back a negative polarity, it's interesting because you see the behavior of that tribe. It's like that tribe that brought all the problems to the other tribes mm-hmm. and brought dark ways and whatnot. But then later on, the Iroquois Seneca came and did battle with the Erie Montauk in this area in Eastlake, and they took over this area. So it's all of it. First was here was the mound builders, and then the Erie Montauk, and then the Seneca. But as we just discussed, the Seneca own their own land. It's under treaty. People just don't know this is included, and they just haven't let anyone know because it was hidden, you know? So all this is coming to fruition this year, and I'm working with some lawyers, and it's to the point, it's not, there's people within the government that I'm working with right now, and some lawyers from the Iroquois tribe, and boy, some huge things about ready to happen. And
yeah,
it's all
I heard
about the Rainbow Warrior prophecy,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's definitely happening.
Yes, and I was shocked because after I went through this, what I went through at, being brought before this council of light and dark and vetted, I received my Native American Indian spirit name at the last Star Knowledge Conference at Estes Park in Colorado, and my name is Rainbow Warrior Eagle.
Nice.
I'm like, that's a cool name to get out of the bucket.
Yeah, I was doing a sweat lodge with the chief, with Golden Light Eagle, and mm-hmm. we were kind of, we were joking around a little bit, and he asked me, "Have you got your Native American name?" You know, and I said, "Oh yeah, yeah." I said, "I got that a while ago," and he goes, "What is it?" And I told him it was Farting Slug, you know, but he just started busting up laughing. But that's not it. I'm not even going to say what it is, but I thought it was kind of funny.
That's funny.
Keep
before
a sense
this
of humor.
Point, I was known as Stands with Beer.
Yeah, there you go. That works. Yeah, the Hey, we're hitting the end of the hour, unfortunately, here. But I wanted, before we go, I wanted to give out any information where that you want to give that where people can contact you or find out more about the work you're doing.
Right on. Well, first of all, check out Star Knowledge Enterprises, and that'll bring you to the Star Knowledge family and these great conferences that they put on with the elders, releasing all the knowledge that they've gained over thousands of years of contact, really. My own website is michaelleehill.net, and if people want to check out my UFO footage, I know you'd find it very familiar, James. It's exactly what's over your ranch. But my YouTube channel is Frozen Hill, and I guess that's about it. I put out my Facebook, but it's funny. I'm sure you're there too. It's like Facebook's like you can only have this many friends.
Yeah. I don't. I never go into Facebook. People try to contact me there, and I tell people I never come in here. So don't think I'm ignoring you. I just don't come into Facebook.
You're a wise man. It's
Yeah.
it's definitely a whirlpool of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It's been a great interview, and we'll definitely stay in touch. And good luck with your endeavors. And again, give the chief and crew a big hug, and
I sure will.
we'll talk soon.
Cool, man. Peace. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show.
Bye-bye.
All right. Good night. All right. This is the end of the show, folks. We're out of time. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Watch the skies and stay in the heart. And, be ready for change, because change is in the wind and things are changing very quickly.